fundraiser, and Hawk Point always has good food. I'm attending tomorrow night, and looking forward to the dinner, and there'll be music and all of the other things that we usually see at a fundraiser, but usually not the music. So I attended last year, and I really recommend it for a fun night as well as for an excellent and wonderful cause. So the couple other things that will be coming up, and I'm sure you're hearing about them, is the guardianship fundraiser is going to be held next week. I think it's Saturday night in Lambertville. And, you know, again, these are really worthwhile causes. And people are helping people. And that's what our community is about. And as long as we can continue doing that and reach out. But as I said, I was really impressed with the number of people last year that attended the Warren County Habitat for Humanity. And I look forward to having a good evening tomorrow night. Husband's going with me, which is, you know, I'm usually the one who's out at night, but we're going to look forward to enjoy that. So what else is happening in the last few minutes? And actually, we're pretty much at the end. So let me tell you what's going to happen on the sports guys. And the sports guys, not much. If we don't have a couple of them who get here soon, but I'm sure they will. Let's play a couple spots, and we'll play the news, and we'll be back with the sports guys. And I look forward to everyone next week, and maybe I'll surprise you with a guest.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
He, Uzeki, facilitated the movement of ISIS, foreign terror fighters, and funds. And he also played a key role in ISIS's external terror attack plotting.
U.S. Central Command spokesman Colonel John Thomas announcing the death of ISIS leader Abdurrahman Uzbeki. Thomas said Uzbeki was a mastermind behind a recent major ISIS attack.
He facilitated the high-profile attack on a nightclub in Istanbul on New Year's Eve, which resulted in the death of 39 innocent civilians.
Look for a big White House rollout of a sweeping tax reform package on Wednesday. President Trump teased the rollout in an appearance today at the Treasury Department. The end of the president's first 100 days comes up at the end of next week, but Trump says his people started working on the tax plan long ago. The proposal expected to include big tax cuts and reforms in corporate tax regulations. USA Radio News.
You love your pet, right? So imagine if you were suddenly faced with thousands of dollars in veterinary care. What would you do? Could you make the difficult decision not to help your best friend? If you join PetSavingsUSA.com, you never have to make that choice or face those kind of expenses. That's because PetSavingsUSA members enjoy discounted pet insurance to cover both standard and emergency vet bills. In addition, members save up to 50% on staples like food, toys, and treats, all at major pet retailers. You'll love the money you'll save, the convenience you'll enjoy, and the peace of mind knowing your beloved pet is fully protected. Call now to take advantage of 2 free months of pet insurance and an instant $100 in savings. Call 877-835-6060. That's 877-835-6060. Or go to PetSavingsUSA.com. Call or click now for your free gift, plus 2 free months of pet insurance. Call 877-835-6060 or visit PetSavingsUSA.com.
Defense Secretary James Mattis is addressing the situation in Syria. Correspondent Chris Barnes has a summary.
There is no longer any doubt.
Defense Secretary Jim Mattis speaking in Tel Aviv today, also saying that Syria has been spreading out its warplanes to make its planes harder to find and destroy if the U.S. was to launch another missile attack. Because he says,
there can be no doubt in the international community's mind that Syria has retained chemical weapons in violation of its agreement.
Mattis commenting to reporters after meeting with the Israeli Prime Minister. I'm Chris Barnes.
Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly says California's deportation of a so-called dreamer was the right move. Juan Montes was deported to Mexico recently for violating the terms of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Kelly said today Montes is to blame for his deportation because of his irresponsible behavior, including his theft, which violated the terms of DACA. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one could compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
The officer seemed to be stable and doing pretty well at this time.
We were told the officer was in
life-threatening condition.
Is that
condition.
No longer the case?
My understanding is they're both stable and doing very well.
Seattle Deputy Police Chief Carmen Best saying two police officers shot yesterday during a robbery are going to recover and are in stable condition. She described yesterday's incident.
Shortly after 1 p.m., there was a robbery in the 600 block of First Avenue. Our officers responded. Three suspects had fled. Our officers contacted the suspects about a block away. A fight ensued. One of the officers was fighting with one of the suspects on the ground. A female suspect came over and struck the officer on the head with a bottle.
If you've ever been stuck on the highway and said, man, what I wouldn't give for a flying car right now, your opportunity has arrived. Here's the story.
The Slovakian company rolled out a new model yesterday to make good on its promise to offer a flying car to the public this year. Aero Mobile says models that are pre-ordered this year will be delivered in 2020. The Aero Mobile goes from road to air mode in less than 3 minutes and has top speeds of 100 miles an hour on the ground and more than 220 miles an hour in flight. The company says Aero Mobile will cover around 430 miles on the ground on a tank of fuel and more than 460 miles in flight. Those cool features come at a cool $1.3 million for the entry-level model.
For more news and in-depth analysis of today's headlines, visit westernjournalism.com. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Okay, what are we doing this weekend? Bill and I will be back with the sports guys, but you know what, Bill? Doesn't look like a good weekend for you to be down at the boat. Today we've known it's not been nice. It hasn't really rained, but it wouldn't be a great day. Tonight's going to be cloudy. Tomorrow might be the best day of the two weekend days. We have mostly cloudy tomorrow, but a high of about 62 degrees. By tomorrow night, 40 degrees, which isn't bad. But there's a slight chance of showers, 20%, which is really slight. Then on Sunday, they say, again, there's a slight chance of showers, but it is only partly sunny and a high of about 63 degrees. So depending, Sunday could turn out to be a nicer day, but doesn't look good. And Saturday or Sunday night, both Saturday night and Sunday night, we have a slight chance of showers. And again, by Monday, there's about a 50% chance of showers and into Monday night. So that it's going to be around 60 degrees, but doesn't look like a nice, bright, sunny weekend. And so that's what's happening with the weather. Well, Bill, what's happening with the sports? I tell you, do you know that the Eagles are playing the Packers this year?
As a matter of fact, don't they start the exhibition season?
That's right. It's a preseason.
In Green Bay.
A preseason game, the Eagles in Green Bay.
Well, if Green Bay is going to be nice, they'll let the Eagles win because it should always be nice to your guests. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, the problem with the preseason games is it always seems that, about half the people who play that first game aren't there when you start the season. On the other hand, it's a great way for people out there or in Philadelphia to take their kids to a game.
Oh, yeah. That's absolutely true. And when you get to these preseason games, you're not really getting to see the players you'd like to see. You're getting to see the players that may or may not have a shot. The regular starters may just play a quarter or two. They've got their job.
They don't even play two. They usually play, if they play a quarter, they're lucky.
Yeah, sometimes it's a quarter, sometimes a half. I remember taking my nephew to a preseason Eagles game because he was a Donovan McNabb fan. And McNabb played the first quarter, and then he sat on the bench. And my nephew, who at the time was about 9, complained and complained and complained.
You have to be ready for that. In fact, we never know what tickets we're going to get. We can get preseason tickets. In fact, this year, because last year we didn't get preseason tickets, this year because we're in the lottery, we could end up with preseason tickets. And so what happens when we do it is we just give them to the boys' club so that, it's an expensive risk when you go in the lottery. But I don't know. What about the Eagles season? I mean, the Packers, I really don't like their season.
You've got a pretty tough season with starting off with Seattle, and then the Super Bowl also ran the Falcons.
Yeah, but you know what?
The Bengals, and then your first easy game, and it's never an easy game, is the Bears.
And it's a Thursday night game. I mean, we look because we want to see what games we might want to go out to Green Bay. September 10th is rather early, but that Seattle game, probably the game I would really be interested in is Sunday, October 22nd, when they're playing the New Orleans Saints. But that Chicago Bear game is a Thursday night game. I'm not really interested in seeing the Bengals. They're playing Dallas, but that's in Dallas. So, that was the game, one of the games we went to last year. We went to see Dallas. We saw the Giant game, and we saw the Bear game. But they were all in Green Bay. So I was surprised to see that they're playing Dallas again in Dallas. But it seems, I don't know, it's not a... The two games, they always play Minnesota twice, and of course one of those games is December 23rd. Now that could be a rather cold game. And then their last game is at Detroit, which is December 31st.
It's a New Year's Eve day game, and that's probably a game that's going to see national television, because my guess is the Packers are going to be a playoff team this year. Also going to see the Lions up for that game, because remember the Lions didn't make the playoffs, and one of the reasons they didn't was because the Packers were a good team. They've got something to prove, but the Green Bay's got a lot to battle through. They've got the Vikings the week before.
Well, they always have the Vikings twice.
Yeah, oh, right, course, but they have the Vikings a week before, and then yeah, the Lions, and I think that's really the challenge, but at least they've got the Vikings at home in Green Bay.
Well, the second game is in Green Bay. Their first game, they're playing the Vikings in October.
Right, in Minnesota. Minnesota.
Yeah. Actually, you know, although I really dislike the Vikings, I'd like to go to that game because I'd like to see that new stadium.
Apparently, they say that new stadium is beautiful.
That's what I hear. I mean, I heard that. I wonder how the noise level is because that's always been a problem when in Minnesota. That's mm-hmm. one of the noisiest stadiums, and I'm sure they tried to make it that way, the new stadium. But I don't know. I'm just not really enthusiastic about their season.
Well, remember, the season is weighted, and the teams they play outside the division are weighted. They play because they've got a good record. They play teams with a better record. The Bengals are vastly improved. The Saints are certainly an improved team. The Ravens, I think, are on the way down. The Steelers were a playoff team, and I think the Steelers are an right. up-and-coming bunch of guys.
Well, actually, that might be a fun game to go to in Pittsburgh. I've never been to a game in Pittsburgh. Have you?
I have been to a Steelers game in Pittsburgh before they had the new stadium. It was in the mid-70s, and I think Terry Bradshaw was still the quarterback, and he was throwing to Rocky Blyer and guys like that. So that was a long, long time ago, and it was the Steelers-Browns game. No, I take that back. It was a Steelers-Eagles game, and the Steelers, of course, won because the Eagles really weren't much of a football team, and I think it was in the Roman Gabriel era.
Wow.
So that's a long time ago, Pat. You know, the interesting schedule, though, if you want to look at the flip side of the universe here, is the New England Patriots.
They oh, really? You have their
yeah.
schedule? See,
yeah.
guys, as
they
you know,
they start
Packers,
with the
all, I'm, the, all I'm ever concerned about are the Packers, and
oh,
that's
sure.
the only schedule I've looked at. So,
but take
what about
a look
the
at
Patriots?
This. Take a look at this. The Super Bowl champs or cheats, I don't know what you want to call them. The New England Patriots start with the Chiefs, a good team. Then they've got the Saints, who are improved. Then the Texans. Then the Panthers, who had a miserable year but are coming back. The Bucks, who are not a bad team. The Jets, and well, who knows what that's going to be. Then they play the Falcons. Then they play the Chargers, assuming they can find them somewhere between San Diego and Los Angeles. I think they're in Los Angeles now, aren't they, Pat?
I think they are.
And then
No, I think they're definitely playing in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, they definitely are.
And
then,
so they're playing.
And then
who did they play that week before?
The Falcons.
They play the Falcons,
yeah.
And then they play the Rams?
No, then they play the Chargers.
Oh, the Chargers.
And then they've got the bye week. Then it's the Broncos, who will be a tough game. The Raiders, who will be a tough game. The Dolphins, who, though they're, you know, it's a division game, so they've got to play them. Then the Bills, then the Dolphins again. Then it gets tough for them again. They get the Steelers. And then they've got a walkthrough with the Bills and the Jets. And I think neither the Bills nor the Jets are going to have good years.
Well, that division that they play in is really...
That's probably the weakest division in pro football.
That's what I was going to say. It always seems to me that that's been the weakest division. It's one reason not to take away from the Patriots, I guess. But it is a weaker division, and it
well,
would be interesting
to see. Well, they're lucky
they're
in that division because that means that they have six games where they've got a better than fair chance of winning and a better than fair chance of being able to take their regulars out in the fourth quarter or give them something of a breather, so less injuries and things like that. So unless there's really a collapse, you know, the schedule makers who have to have them play the division teams, of course, are really hard pressed to give them the kind of competition they really should be getting to have the better matchup.
Well, that's because, you know, everybody plays two games within their division. And
exactly.
One of the things about, you know, the with the Packers, I mean, you never know. Even a weak team, you know, in that division can come through. I mean, the Bears can always be a real tough adversary to the Packers, even when they're not doing that well. And I think that's true pretty much with all the teams. I mean, Detroit has not been that good. Looks better. But you never can count on any one of those games.
But, you know, Pat, there's a difference. Everybody cranks it up a notch when they play Green Bay, whether it's at Lambeau or on the road, for all kinds of reasons, some historical, some are for playing for pride. I just think that when you play a team like Green Bay, you have to bring your best game, because I think Green Bay is capable of winning just about every game they play.
Well, I've always thought that, but what about, your division? I mean, I have to say, I've said it last year, and I'm going to say it again, unless something, there are real injuries with the Cowboys, I just think that they're going to be a tough team, a really tough team this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last year, granted, all the Giant fans are out there saying, well, we beat them twice, but, boy, I don't know. What do you think about the Eagles' chances, and you tell me, am I wrong about the Cowboys?
Well, I think the Cowboys are for real. They're 13-3. Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. He's got guys to throw to. There's a decent running game, although it's certainly not world class. And they play well defensively. But, you know, the Eagles start with the Redskins, which I'm hoping will be a win. And the Chiefs will be tough. Remember, they're playing their former coach, Andy.
Right.
Then they've got the Giants.
And everybody will be rooting for Andy.
Andy, right.
Except the diehard Eagle fans, I recognize.
Remember, they start on the road. They don't even play a home game until the 24th when they host the Giants.
Really?
Yeah. Then they're out in L.A. again hosting the Chargers. And then they've got Arizona. They go visit the Panthers. And they've got the Redskins again on the 23rd of October. And then they've got the Niners, where I'm sure that should be a decent win for them.
A decent win for the Eagles?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Niners are just going to be a basket.
Isn't that amazing? Because just a few years ago, you know, they were the team to be worried about.
Yeah, everybody was worried about them then.
I mean, I'll never forget that playoff game with when Kaepernick was just, we thought he was going to be dynamite. And that's the difference. I really think that Dak Prescott is going to be, could well be a franchise quarterback. And I think what happened with Kaepernick is, you know, nobody knew how to play against him, but boy, did they learn quickly.
But, you know, it's a very, very funny thing. When you look at the Giants, I think the Giants' hardest game is going to be when they visit the Oakland Raiders. Now, we know Oakland moving to
really?
Vegas.
Yeah.
Week 14, you know, and the Giants have a 10-day break going in, and I think the Giants get rusty over that 10 days. And they've got a long road trip.
So when is their bye?
I think their Giants bye week, let's take a real careful look at that, because the Giants bye week is after they play the Seahawks on October 22nd. Then they go play the Rams, and remember,
well, that's a good time to
Chiefs,
have a bye, though.
The Redskins, and they play the Raiders December 3. And well, that's actually a game that I plan to watch. It's a late afternoon game. It's a 4:25 start. It's going to be a tough game because the Raiders have become a good team. Their fans, I think, are going to stick with them, even though they're going to move to Las Vegas, and they've already broken ground on the stadium.
I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens with the fans this year, because they remind me a little bit of the Eagle fans, although comparing the two, I think the Oakland Raider fans are actually nicer than the Eagle fans. But, you know, that's always been a, you know, kind of a working class, tough,
kind of a shot and beer sort of
shot and beer, you know, tough place. Although I have to say, I was never so impressed as when Brett Favre played there right after his dad's death. I mean, they were the most incredible fans that you'd ever could possibly imagine.
The Raiders try to cultivate this pirate, bad guy, sort of biker mystique. Now, how that's going to play in Las Vegas, I don't know.
Oh, I think they're going to change. I think it'll be a completely different... I think it'll be completely different. But the other thing that's going to be interesting in Las Vegas is I think many people will go to those games. They're football fans, but they don't go to games, and they're not going to really care as much who plays. They just want to see a professional game. They're in Las Vegas. They want to party. They want to have fun. And so I think it could be a very different feel going to those games than going to other games where you have such diehard fans. So it'll be interesting to see what that dynamic is. But my view is that there are going to be a lot of hotels, a lot of restaurants that buy up a lot of tickets so that they'll have tickets for, you know, people that come into the hotels so they can sell packages. I get a sense that it's going to be different, probably even different than New Orleans.
Well, you know, it begs the question. The people who will go to see a Las Vegas Raiders game are going to want to see their visiting team play. You may not be able to get tickets to see the Giants, but if they go to play in Las Vegas, you can arrange for the package 6 months ahead of time.
Those packages, when they're playing teams like the Giants and, you know, certain other teams, those packages are going to be sold out, you know, the first day they go up. And I think that, as I said, I do believe that a lot of the hotels will, if they haven't, I don't know when those season tickets go on sale, but I think that they're going to just scoop those tickets up so that they have the ability to offer packages. The hotels themselves have an ability to offer packages. And I don't think there's any limit. Is there any limit on season tickets and what can be purchased?
No, I don't know what the NFL rules are. I think they leave it team by team, number one. And number two, obviously season ticket holders get first crack. And I have to believe that the casinos and their organizations already have their deal cut with the NFL.
Well, the interesting thing would be what they're going to do for the season ticket holders in Oakland. In other words, if you are a season ticket holder in Oakland, maybe it's all out there in the news, but I really don't know. Let's say I'm a season ticket holder and I have four tickets in Oakland, and I want to continue being a season ticket holder. It seemed to me that they'd have to offer the season ticket holders in Oakland the first opportunity to purchase. So then the question is, are there going to be black market? If I have four season tickets in Oakland, can I go sell them to someone else?
Well, you know, that's an interesting speculation. You may very well be offered your same tickets. Maybe not in exactly the same seats, but close by. Because remember, they're abandoning their fan base. But what about those who may have been sold ticket licenses or seat licenses, which is essentially just the right to buy?
Did they do that?
I don't know, because I think they may very well have done so with a revenue enhancement, but I think in Oakland they're still playing
mostly
in a baseball stadium where the A's play.
Yeah, mostly they do that when they're expanding a stadium.
Or there's a new stadium.
Or a new stadium.
Yeah because remember, when you have the seat license, which I've always been a little offended by, you're buying the privilege of buying 8 real games and 2 or 3 not so good exhibition games. And it always seemed to me that you're paying almost a surcharge for the privilege of getting those seats. And, you know, seat licenses were
What's the difference between a seat license and season tickets?
Well, here's the answer.
Same thing, right?
No. A seat license is to basically pay for the privilege of getting those higher and better quality season tickets, which you then pay the price printed on the season ticket over and above the seat license.
Well, you know, maybe I'm confused because, you know, the people, for example, Green Bay season ticket holders have the same seats every year. In fact, these people, most of them have had these same seats for 30 years or more, and they just pass them down from generation to generation. Now, I do know that when they expand stadiums, they do something about seat licenses, and I do know that I was in a store in, actually it was in Minnesota a few years ago, and someone was talking about they were going to give up their box seats because apparently when they renovated the stadium, they had to pay so much more for them that they said they just could no longer justify it. And, of course, I was sitting there thinking, oh, do I wish I had the money just to go and buy, you know, a box for every single game, and somehow I'd figure out the way to fill it. But, you know, that's one of the I've been to a number of stadiums. I've never been in a box seat at Lambeau.
Well, that's too bad, but I thought that the whole point of going to Lambeau was to get to watch the Packers while your backside froze on those aluminum benches.
Well, guess what? I would have enjoyed having box seats when I watched the Packers and the Giant playoff game, and you're right, people froze more than just their backside. It was 13 below zero. And, I mean, it was really, that was not wind chill. That was the actual temperature. So, no, it definitely is a different feel when you're watching a game in a box seat, especially if it's a bunch of business people who are really not that interested in football. But on the other hand, when it's really cold, it would be nice.
Oh, definitely. And you might just fly out sometime before June. It's always amazing to me, though, when you sit in the box seat and, you know, it's one of those luxury boxes, and, you know, typically you're invited because somebody wants to either reward you for something or sell you something or thank you for being a customer or something. And you are, you know, there's every possible luxury, whether it's food, drink, somebody waiting on you, and you don't always get to see the game as well as if you were close down. I've sat in box seats at Wells Fargo Center to watch the Flyers, and I'd rather be in the lower bowl about a third of the way up, either behind the penalty boxes or behind the benches, because you really get a better sense of the game. I've even sat behind the nets. I've sat behind both the home and visiting team benches, where you really get into the game a lot more. And the game looks faster down there than it does from up above.
Well, in fact, when we went to the Devils game that time, and I don't know, I think you're right. It's hard to watch hockey when you're high or up. It's like watching tennis. I mean, I don't find that I really enjoy tennis. I love going to the U.S. Open, but somehow I see more tennis if I happen to be watching on television than if I'm at the U.S. Open, as far as, you know, because at least I've never had, you know, courtside seats. So I suppose if you have courtside seats, it may be a little different. But hockey the same way. I mean, somehow, at least at Lambeau, you know, almost no matter where you're sitting, they're good seats. Unless you're perhaps really low end zone right behind the goalposts. And then, you know, then it's a little more difficult to see at the other end of the field. But I've always found that you know, Lambeau, it's really easy to see the field. And it's sometimes it's really good to see it from a little bit higher because you get to get a sense of how the plays are happening and how they're working those plays out. Where
and we've got an unexplained John Manfreda appearance, like an apparition, even wearing his Red Sox stuff.
We were talking, John, about the schedules. And do you have anything to say about the Giants' schedule this year?
Well, good afternoon, everyone. First of all, thank you for the introduction. NFL schedule, it's always tough to know in April what it really means. But if there's any indication, you kind of go by the number of primetime games sometimes. And, you know, teams like the Packers, the Eagles had five primetime games. So, you know, it's hard to know. I think the opening game, New England-Kansas City, is going to be an interesting game. I don't have a lot to say about the Giants, except that they tend to travel well the last few years. They play well on the road. In the past, they have been known as a team that didn't play well on the non 1 o'clock games. But I think they'll do just fine with that. It'll be very interesting to see what happens in the draft because they have a few holes they need to fill. But overall, you know, it's another NFL season about to unfold, and with everything that comes with it, doesn't get any better, right, Bill?
Mm-hmm. So when do the Giants play the Cowboys?
Because well, that's really the opening night game, Sunday night, opening weekend
for
about the fourth year in a row.
Right.
And people, I actually did hear a couple of...
Where are they playing, Dallas?
I think it's in...
New Jersey.
It is Meadow. Yeah, because last year it was in because they beat the Cowboys on the first day. But I think this is the fourth...
I take that back. They start in Dallas.
I thought it was in Dallas, yeah.
Dallas,
yeah.
Which, December 10th.
And the, yeah. I think it's the fourth year or maybe fifth year in a row. And a few people had called some of the other stations, some of our competitors, and complained that, isn't it getting kind of ho-hum? Why would you take a big game like that and use that opening day? Now, obviously, from a marketing point of view, the NFL wants to kickstart. It's like... For a number of years, Bill, Yankees, Red Sox were the first week in baseball to get everybody going.
That's right. But this time the Yankees opened down in Florida with Tampa and then hosted them, which was inexplicable to me.
Yeah, isn't that kind of, but again, I think a lot of people are saying we got 19 games to play. Let's use three of those games right out of the chute. You get 16 left. So you're exactly right. It's really inexplicable that they would do that. And I mean, the Red Sox open with the Pirates. I mean, come on, a total non sequitur. But in any event, I guess the figure, the feeling is, you know, Giants, Cowboys, you can never go wrong. Even if both teams aren't playing well, or regardless of what time it is, what time of year it is, you can make arguments either way. But Pat, that's what they did.
Well, they'll get a big draw.
Yeah, well, you know, remember, New York is always going to get that kind of, because you know you're going to get 20 million watching the game no matter what, just in the New York, New Jersey area and fans around the country. You know, a lot of New England, although they won't admit that the last 15 years, but prior to 2001, you know, you was mostly Giants fans. And then they discovered that sometimes errors in the sixth round work out. So, you know, that all kind of changed. But at this point, it's the NFL, and I sometimes think that they can put monkeys out there with NFL uniforms and still draw whatever a big number is, the share and the whatever. I can never figure out how they do that.
Oh, well, that's what fills the stadium when the Jets play, right?
Well, actually, most monkeys are too embarrassed to admit that they attend Jets games.
I can think of incidents where small children have refused perfectly nice Jets.
Well, there's a famous call when a guy called up Joe Beningo one time, who's as you know, bleeds green, diehard fan, and he was all excited. And this was during the Kotite years. And the Jets are 1-15 or coming off of 1-15. And he says, Joe, you know, I had this great experience. This is like Sunday night or Monday night. He says, I took my child to his first New York Jets NFL football game. And he had such a great time. And Joe says, wait a minute. Let me get this right. You took your child to a Jets game. Oh, yeah, Joe, well, he wants to start early. I want to start him early. And he goes, wait a minute, it's child abuse. Somebody call Dyfus. This is child abuse. Sir, we're tracing this line. We're going to come and get that child. And it was hilarious. And the guy at the other end of the line was perfectly grim. And he absolutely went crazy. It was just the most hilarious. One of my favorite all-time calls that I heard on the radio.
Oh, that is funny.
But what about the Packers? I think they've got 4 primetime games.
Yeah, but I'm really, I don't know.
Remember, you're in the middle of the country. So it's, and if you have, it seems to me, this is just my observation, Pat, division games in the NFL always, I mean, even when the Browns play the Bungles, but it's a division game. Oh, yeah. Okay. The one division that nobody really cares that much about, it seems to me, is that Central Division, because you've had the Packers dominating for a number of years. The Bears are living on reputation, let's face it. The Vikings are a veneer.
Yeah, but
and nobody really cares. But it seems to me the Packers, their biggest draw is when they play the Cowboys, Giants, or 49ers.
Well, I mean, as far as the stadium, it's full no matter what.
No, but I'm just saying on a national scale, those games are going to, you know, top the charts all the time. Packers and those three teams. And in the AFC, maybe New England, maybe because they played a Super Bowl back in 96, 97. I think whenever you get two teams from opposite conferences, even if they're not relevant, but they played a Super Bowl, it's kind of like, there was a game not too long ago where Cincinnati played San Francisco. And they both teams were not, okay? But they made a big thing about how they played two Super Bowls, okay? So you can always get mileage out of that. That's the thing the NFL has going for it.
Well, but what I'm looking for is what games we would want to see. And, you know, this past year when we had 3 home games in a row, that was great because we went out to see.
Yeah, and some people actually went out and did that, yeah, Pat.
We went out to see, you know, the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Bears.
I mean, that was once in a lifetime.
It was.
Giants, Cowboys, Bears. You could not pick 3 better teams. Bill and I have seen the Bears in Lambeau, and that was a tight game for a while before Favre and the Packers pulled away.
Well, actually, you know, that's one thing about the division games. Even though, you know, the Bears, you can't ever count on beating the Bears, beating Detroit. Now, I mean, of course, when I was a kid, I watched Thanksgiving games, and Detroit would always win. At least it seemed like they would always win. Back then, they played the Packers regularly.
That's right. That was a, standard
game. But this
game.
Year, looking at, you know, the Seattle game is the first game.
Tough game.
Too early. Yeah, but it's too early to go out there.
Yeah, so, exactly. That's going to be a tough game for the Packers.
You know, Dave and I were looking at the schedule, and I guess we would hope that we could get the tickets for the New Orleans Saints.
That could be an entertaining game. Drew Brees is still a good player.
And that's October 27th.
However, I have the ultimate proposition for you, okay? And Bill and I discussed this a few weeks ago. You now have the Raiders moving to Vegas. And that stadium will be built, I think, for the 2019 season. And the buzz on this is unbelievable, because what's going to happen is the fan who can't get tickets to his game can go to Vegas when they play the Raiders.
Well, we were talking a little bit about that, and I think the other thing is the fans who go out there are not going to really care. If they're real football fans, yes, they'd
like you're going to have huge numbers of football fans going out for the weekend that might not otherwise have gone.
And that's why I said I think the casinos and the restaurants and the hotels are going to grab up as many season tickets as they can.
No question.
And they're going to be these packages.
They're going to be package deals. Yeah, no question about it.
I mean, I would think when you saw the Giants out there playing, I would think that there would be planes full of Giant fans going from New York.
Absolutely. The planes are full now, leaving Newark and all the three area airports.
There you would see
Absolutely.
You know, like I'll never forget when we went to the Super Bowl down in New Orleans, got on a plane in Newark that was coming from Boston.
Right.
And the entire plane was full of Patriot fans. I think maybe three of us were able to get on the plane because it was so hard getting into New Orleans. We all had to fly to Houston.
Yeah.
I said that before. But the point is, you know, there will be charter flights. I mean, people are going to be just trying to get season tickets, groups of season tickets. So
you'll be able to do is buy, let's say, four season tickets, go to two or three games, and sell the rest and make a profit.
But
that's what's going to happen.
The bars, the restaurants, they're going to
absolutely
buy just
now,
groups of tickets.
The ultimate weekend that Bill and I are going to do, I'm sure, and Pat, I hope you and Dave come along. We are going to go on a weekend in November when we get to see a hockey game on Friday or Saturday night, and then the NFL game on Sunday. We're going to go to Vegas to see NHL and NFL football. Now, is that going to be a weekend, Bill, or what?
Well, we left one thing out.
Oh, forget about those people.
No women.
Forget about the women, Bill.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Well, I didn't mean women. I didn't mean respectable women like you.
Wait a minute. I know your mind is in the gutter.
Well, Bill, what can I tell you? Guilt by association, Bill.
I want to see the Running Rebels play basketball.
Well, that too.
I have never.
Saturday afternoon. You're right. And the hockey game Saturday night and the football Sunday.
Wouldn't that be?
Hot and cold running pro sports.
That would be. I didn't even think. That's the third link. That's the third link in the triad.
Exactly.
The Vegas triad. And by the way, Bill, you'll be pleased to know, and you won't be surprised, we have already booked Vegas for next March.
Wow.
That's already booked. So we'll more details on that later, but that's already booked.
So the problem is, you know, you would like to go to Vegas and see those games, but to see some teams that you'd really like to see.
Yeah,
so, you know, I think the teams are going to be fighting to get a game in Las Vegas because you're right. That'll be not only nationally televised, it'll be a chance for their fans.
Yep.
You know, so it'll be interesting because, of course, it's very unusual that the Packers play Oakland. So,
correct, because AFC teams you only play once every 4 years out of your conference because you play four teams from the other conference every year. Hence, only once every 4 years you play each of those teams.
Right. So
the schedule, it's very interesting, the algorithm they use. You're in a division, so you have six games with your opponents. With your division opponents. There's 10 other games. Six of those 10 games are against conference foes, and that leaves four games that are with the other conference. And that's the algorithm. It's 6, 6, and 4.
Right. I mean, maybe the Packers have played Oakland
maybe three times in history.
I remember the last time was when Brett Favre went out and played after his dad's
death. It is funny when in 2017 coming up, but you know, I remember there was a game I was watching last year, and it was a conference game, and I think it was an NFC West team, so it might have been Seattle or something like a team that hasn't been around for 50 years, maybe 20, and they were playing an AFC team, something similar. I want to say Houston or maybe San Diego, something like that. And they and the announcers were saying, I happened to catch the beginning of the game. Yeah, and the all-time series is Seattle 2-1. And I'm thinking, here you're on the 100th anniversary almost, the NFL, and they played three games. And that's the all-time series. And by the way, Bill, that fascinates me a lot. The all-time series, I don't know what it is now, but last year they published the all-time head-to-head record of the Red Sox and Yankees. Do you know what it was?
I think the Yankees probably...
Before you go off on a bad tangent there, Bill, the answer was dead even. They played over 1,000 games. They've each won like 500 and something games. Yeah, whatever the number is, exactly the same wins, both sides.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Remember, the Yankees have slid, the Red Sox have bounced.
Yeah, in the last 20 years, that obviously has changed a little bit. But prior to that, it was, as a kid, I went to see the Yankees at least once or twice a year. I think I told you, the game I remember the most was I saw Mel Stottlemyre pitch. I also saw Stan Bonson pitch for the Yankees when he came over from the White Sox. But my Stottlemyre game I'll never forget because the Red Sox were losing 8-1. And I was with my uncle and two of my cousins. My uncle took us to the game. It was Thursday afternoon. It wasn't a great day. It was a getaway day because it was Thursday. And before the weekend series started, so they play a 1 o'clock game, and the weather wasn't great. But my uncle says, "Come on, I got tickets. I'm taking you guys into the game." We go in. Stottlemyre dazzles for like 7 innings. It's 8-1 Yankees. And my uncle says, he's probably listening to this right now. My uncle Walter, who died about 20 years ago, I'm sure he's listening to this. But he say, those bums, let's go. They can't even beat the Yankees. Because both teams, this was 67 or 68. Well, it wasn't 67. It was probably 68. But it might have been 66. I don't know. It wasn't 67 because every game in 67 was great. But we leave. Remember, no cell phones or anything like that. We get in the parking lot. We're driving away from the Fenway area. And so my cousin turns the radio on. Well, let's listen to the end of the game. The whole way home, we listened to a rally. The Red Sox came back in the bottom of the ninth to win 9-8. And of course, by the time we got home, it was one of my cousins was the son of my uncle, so it was his father. And he was screaming at him by the end, "Dad, I told you we should never leave. You never leave. Never, never leave." We missed one of the greatest comebacks, and to boot us against the hated Yankees. But I remember that game. But, yeah, that was always an era where, again, both teams. I can still remember 66 when the Red Sox finished ninth and the Yankees finished 10th in the American League. And the series was sold out at Fenway, and it was sold out at Yankee Stadium. Because
the series was still fun. I mean, I could remember watching on TV Roger Maris hitting home run 61 against Tracy Stallard of the Red Sox.
Really, really? Bill, you're dating yourself there, but that's interesting.
That may very well be, but I can also remember in 1964, the year the Yankees went to the World Series and lost four in a row against the hated Dodgers, which was my mother, of course, being a Dodger fan. But 2 weeks before the season ended, the Yankees took four in a row from the Red Sox, and they had brought Bill Mumbo-Kett in to pitch, I think, the eighth or ninth inning because the Red Sox were close. It was like a 3-2 Yankee game. And they lit Mumbo-Kett up like a cheap Christmas tree. It was just amazing. I had gone to one of those games with my uncle, who was not a big Yankee fan, but you know, they lived in the Bronx. I was staying with them for a couple of days. He wanted to get out of the house, so we went to the Yankee game. It was like a Saturday afternoon, and the place was crawling with kids. So the Yankees managed to get two runs in the first, another run in the second. The Red Sox managed to throw Kubek out at the plate when he was trying to steal home. The Red Sox started coming back, and suddenly it was 2-2, and Berra hit a towering home run that made it into the left field upper deck. The ball landed about 50 feet from where we were sitting, and I felt such excitement that the Yankees had beaten the Red Sox. And, you know, that's a childhood thrill, but like a lot of childish things, maybe you put them away, but I've never quite put away the thrill of the Yankees beating the Red Sox.
I don't think little boys ever put away that game.
That was one of the prizes of your childhood, Bill.
And see
that memory.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know, my uncle was the kind of guy who taught me how to be an uncle to my nieces and nephews.
You know, it's really interesting because I guess I went to a few Braves games in, like in 57 when I was a kid, but we didn't regularly go. In fact, we used to have to listen to everything on the radio.
Yeah.
Because those, you know, I guess out in the where we lived, we really didn't have televisions. And so I was used to listening to baseball on the radio. And so it was really interesting when you went. I remember Joe Adcock looked like a giant.
Oh, that, you know, first baseman.
He yeah, first baseman. 6'4", 6'5". I mean, he was, you know, he was huge. And, of course, even though I was little, Eddie Matthews was really cute. but we all followed baseball then. And I don't think the kids today, except those that really play a lot of baseball, I don't see that there are as many kids following baseball today. Do you think so?
No, and you know what I think part of it is? With free agency, players move around a lot. And with the exception of someone who spent 15 seasons with the same team, say like a Derek Jeter, you don't see that continuity. Well, okay, it's good for the players, and it's good for the teams who can pay them to move.
No, I think you're right, Bill, and I think the same thing with football. Maybe not to the same extent, but I think, you know, these kids who, you know, I mean, I don't like it when people that I like, you know, leave the Packers, you know, and I think that they sometimes, you know, get rid of, and maybe I understand it, but then I don't, because I think there's some people that, you know, they should have just kept for a few more years and should retire. I mean, it's really nice to see someone who plays. And do you think Eli will always stay with the Giants?
Yeah. What's that, Pat?
I think Eli Manning is never.
You think Eli?
He will retire. He will never play for.
I mean, you
team.
Really thought Tony Romo would always be?
Yeah, but you remember Eli was drafted by the Giants number one. That wasn't the history of Romo.
Well, wait.
Romo was not drafted. Romo was a free agent pickup by Bill Parcells.
Wasn't Eli drafted by someone else?
He was drafted by San Diego after they agreed draft. The Giants agreed to swap Rivers and then make the trade, and then the Chargers got the Giants' second-round pick. So they got Philip Rivers and a second-round pick. The Giants got Eli in two Super Bowls. So it was pretty good.
But wasn't that because Eli said, I won't play?
He said he wouldn't play in San Diego.
For San Diego.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was...
Well, because he knew. That's how smart his family... Who wants to go to San Diego? Look at what happened. Nobody cares about anything in San Diego. Yeah, that's why he didn't want to play there, because the fans, they're not passionate enough.
No, I thought he was a little...
You've got to remember something.
Snot, frankly.
San Diego was an AFC team that never quite figured out how to be an NFL team.
Yeah, because they're just too busy thinking how to look cool. And, I mean, they do have some of the prettiest uniforms. I love the powder blue with the lightning yellow bolt. I love the truck. If I had to pick a uniform.
Statement. This is football, not a fashion statement.
No, I know, but it's a beautiful uniform. And
well,
blue is my favorite color.
We'll know who does the fashion on this show.
Yeah, there you go, Pat. But, no, I mean, I'll concede that. I will tell you, I think they've got beautiful uniforms.
Listen, guys, let's play a couple.
Hey, go ahead, yeah.
And then we'll have to, get out of here in just a couple minutes. We now will have every week tune in for the fashion report from John Manfreda.
Absolutely.
And maybe
no extra charge.
And maybe he'll have some interesting things on. We haven't talked about what the uniforms are going to be when the Raiders move to Las Vegas.
Well, I'm sure we'll have John on the catwalk modeling some of their clothes.
Okay. Listen up to our wonderful sponsors.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold.